So we started at the top of Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, a couple, 2, 4, 6 lines down. It's the story about Rabbi Akiva. What's interesting here is that the story here is brought in the shame of Rabbi Akiva. If you look in Rashi in Ta'anit, where's the corollary story, Rashi over there says it can't be Rabbi Akiva. It has to be Mar Ukva. And that's the Girsa. The Girsa in the Gemara in Ta'anit is Mar Ukva, because Rashi says the Girsa is Mar Ukva. Generally the Girsa follows what Rashi says. So there is Mar Ukva, not Rabbi Akiva. Rashi objects to the fact that number one, Rabbi Akiva didn't know the answer. You're going to see here, they asked him questions. He didn't know the answers. How could it be that Rabbi Akiva doesn't know the answer? Number two is, Rabbi Akiva's opinion generally appears, or if they can express it, Rabbi Akiva's opinion, it's going to be in a braita, or some sort of Tanaic work. To have it inside of a story doesn't seem right, according to Rashi. Therefore, Rashi has the gears in Ma'ukva, not Rabbi Akiva. Tosfos says he doesn't see the problem. He says that we have stories about Rabbi Akiva all throughout Shas. He doesn't see this being an issue at all. He thinks the Girsa could be Rabbi Akiva. So our Gemara here has the Girsa Rabbi Akiva, whereas in Ta'anit, it has the Girsa of Meir Ukva. So he says, Ilkla the Ginzak went to this place. Bo-mine, they asked him 3 questions, all of which he did not know the answer to. First one, Mit'anin l'sha'ot or ain't Mit'anin l'sha'ot? Lo habi biyode. Says, can you fast for a partial duration or not? I'm going to come back to this in a second. It's very complex. What does it mean, Mit'anim l'sha'ot? We'll come back and discuss it. Kankanim shel obdei kochavim. This is why it's here. Kankanim, right? The kli cheres of the obdei kochavim, asurim, umutarim. Can you use them or you not use them? Again, lo habi biyode. He didn't know the answer. Last question. Bameh shimesh Moshe kol shiva yimei hamiluim. What did Moshe wear when he had the 7 days of the miluim? He was servicing in the Mishkan. Before they got to the 8th day where the Kohanim went into service, Moshe was performing or acting as the Kohen. If he is acting as the Kohen, what beged did he wear? Alright, that's the next question. Rashi says the reason we're asking this is because Moshe is not allowed to wear the Big Day Kohuna, because Big Day Kohuna are the Arona of Vanav, and not for Moshe. So since Moshe is precluded from using Big Day Kuna, it must be that he's wearing something else. Or what is it that he's wearing? He doesn't have Big Day Kuna, but he's servicing as a Kohen Gadol. Tosus, on the other hand, believes that that it's not an issue. It's just that the question is, by the 7 days of Miluim is basically the prep for the 8th day when the Kohanim go into service. But that means that the Big Day Kuna also only go into service in the 8th day. The Big Day Kuna were not available or not used before the 8th day. If that's the case, then what did Moshe wear during the first 7 days? So Rashi says it's a problem because he couldn't wear Big Day Kuna. Tosa says it's a problem because the Big Day Kuna weren't in service yet, therefore we need to know what he's wearing. Again, lo habi biyode. He didn't know the answer. So Ato Shal Be Midrusha, he went to the Beis Medrash. So Imre, they told him, Hilchata, here's the halacha. Mit Anim the Sha'ot, you'd fast for Sha'ot. Ve'im Hishlim Mitpalel Tfilat Ta'anit. And if he completes the fast, then he can say at Tfilat Ta'anit, he can say Anenu. So now, what is this Mit Anim the Sha'ot? So Rashi describes Mit Anim the Sha'ot over here. He says, if you look here, it's in, right in Rashi the Sha'ot. He only started the fast halfway through the day. Why is that? So but you came into the day, and happens to be you're very busy that morning. Very busy, and all of a sudden you realize that it comes lunchtime, you haven't eaten a thing. Haven't had a morsel. Been running since you left the house this morning, didn't eat anything. And now you've been fasting for the half the day. So you know what? I'm already got that half the day. Let me finish up this fast. So what do? You sit right in the middle there, you say, okay, I'm making this into a full-fledged tanit, and we're gonna finish up the tanit today. I'm gonna have a full tanit. And based on that, he says, Mitanim l'sha'ot, rei mitanim l'sha'ot. Can you make a decision to create a tanit in the middle of the day? Like this, where you'll complete it. You've already fasted partially, but not because you were mekabel a tanit. You fasted because you were too busy. Can you be mekabel on yourself this to complete, or to have a tanit that will complete the day? And they say, whether it counts as a fast. Number one, does it count as a fast? Because if you're trying to do tshuva, if you're trying to do something, is it complete the neder that you wanted to do? And number two is, from saying tefillah tanit, can you say anenu? Can you daven anenu in the second half of the day? Because it has a shame tanit on it, or it does not have a shame tanit on it.
And so there's a... If you think tanit just for tshuva, and not zechanit,
it may not qualify. The Gemara says in Tanit, we're going to get to this in a second, the Gemara says in Tanit, any Tanit that doesn't have a Kabbalah associated with it is not a Tanit. It's that someone who fasts without having a Kabbalah on it, it's the equivalent of having a flask full of air and no liquid in it. It's a waste. It's basically a waste of time. It's not a Tanit. It doesn't have a shame Tanit to it, which is important. Because here, if you don't have a shame Tanit, you haven't included, they haven't accomplished having a Tanit, you're just not eating. Right, exactly. That doesn't cover Shetanit. Number two is, if you do that, you can't say Anenu, which would be the other problem here. So that's why Rashi describes it over here as being a Tanit that you're Mekabel in the middle of the day. Tosfos, when coming up or bringing up the issue, says, wait a minute, how can you have that? We have the principle that's laid out in the Gemara in Tanit, which is that any Tanit that doesn't have a Kabbalah is not a Tanit. So how could Rashi say this? How could Rashi say also in the middle of the day you decide you have a Tanit? That's not a Kabbalah. Kabbalah means from the day before. Kabbalah must require that you do it the day before. We even say in our Hataret Nedarim, right? Hataret Nedarim, we say that no neder will take Michal in the upcoming year except for when we Moser Moda, right? Tanit Vishat Mincha. You have to be Mekabel if you want to be Mekabel Tanit the day before at Mincha time. So that's the general time that we're Mekabel Tanit. On Shabbos, Mekabel it in Elokai Netzor at Mincha time. But the Gemara seems to indicate that there's a requirement of Kabbalah. So Tosus solves this problem when he says, listen, it's a conditional Kabbalah. Listen to this. The day before, you're Mekabel on yourself a tiny like this. You say, if I manage to get through the first half of the day fasting, then I want to finish up the fast. If I eat in the morning, I'm too hungry and I eat in the morning, no fast. But if I make it to noon, then I want to finish the fast. So it's a Kabbalah all tonight. You have a full-fledged Kabbalah, but it's done on condition that you make it through the first half of the morning. So that's the first solution Tosfos gives, that is what's called Tanit Shaot, and that would be permissible over here. Then Tosfos says, wait, maybe, Inami, the possibility here, is that even without a Kabbalah the day before, right, that is not so problematic. Because when Shmuel says that any Tanit without a Kabbalah is not a Tanit, that's l'chatchila. B'diyevet, even without a Kabbalah, you can create a Tanit. And if that's the case, then we will say that you can do it, and he'll be somewhat, those will be akin to what Rashi says over here, which is that even without a Kabbalah the day before, you can create a Tanit on this day. It won't be l'chatchila, b'diyevet, you can't create such a Tanit. Now, the last thing Tosus discusses is a Yerushalmi. This is very important. Tosus creates, and this is what I would have thought when I read Tanit Shaot, this is what I would have thought. I want to have a partial day fast. I don't want to fast the whole day. I only want to fast part of the day. Can you have such a Kabbalah? Can you have a Kabbalah that says, I will only fast for a portion of the day? I'm not going to fast the entirety of the day. Does that work? We have that as Nafka Mina. Tomorrow is Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippurim, we say about children who gagia l'chinuch or getting to the point of chinuch, mit'anim l'shaot. Right? They fast partially. We give them time, they part of the fast day, not the whole thing. So that day over here, when you say mitana l'sha'ot, Tosfos brings the Yerushalmi, which describes a similar type of a concept, that mitana l'sha'ot is a partial day fast. And that's what you hear. Yerushalmi dundorim perish konim mefarish mitanim l'sha'ot shim achal ad chatzi yom yacholu ligmor bedato leitanot ad alayla v'alto lo tanit. You ate the first half of the day. Comes to the second half of the day, you say, I want to take a fast for the second half of the day. This is even after you're eating. Not like Rashi, where you didn't eat the first half of the day. You just want to have a fast for a half a day. And the Yerushalmi says, right, it's 6 hours waiting between Fleishik and Milchik, so he wants to fast. He goes, Tanit, it works. And that's the Yerushalmi. That's the way the Yerushalmi describes it. So that's the three possibilities of what the Tanit is that we're talking about here. Mitanim Shot. One possibility is that, like Rashi says, you already fasted half a day, you're accepting the second half of the day. It's like the second case in Tosus. The first case in Tosus is that you have a Kabbalah the day before, I'll condition that if I start the fast, if I make it through the first half, then I'll finish the second half. And the last possibility we just brought down was the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi that describes a case where you are in the middle of the day, even after you've eaten, you decide you want to have a half day fast. Do half day fasts work? Can you have such a thing? And do you say anenu? What is interesting here, it's not discussed over here, but it's discussed in the Gemara and Tanit, where these cases are brought down, which is the saying of anenu. Our minhag, and that is brought down by Rashi, our minhag is to only say anenu in mincha, mincha on the Tanit. We don't say it all the tefillot. Yet there was a common practice before that, before Rashi brought it down, that they said anenu in all the tefillot. So actually they tried to stop it. Rashi's quoting those, and they tried to stop this minhag from the Gonim, and they tried to stop it because they were afraid people would not make it through the whole Tanit. And then it would look like Sheker. Right? That person said Anenu in Ma'ariv, and then in Shacharit, and then he breaks his fast because he can't make it through, and it looks like he's lying. He says that we're in a B'yom Tzom Tanitenu. We're in the middle of a Tzom, but you're not in a Tzom anyway, you break the fast. So only B'shat HaMincha, when it's close enough to the end of the fast, where we think you're going to make it, then we say Anenu. That's Rashi's path. Says over there. Tosus on the other hand says, I don't understand. It doesn't make sense. When you say Anenu, at the time that you're saying that you are fasting, your intention is to complete the fast. When you break it later, it's not that it's lamafrei, it's sheker. When you said it, that's what you believed you were doing, that's what you were fasting. You should be able to say Anenu. Tosfos says, I don't see any problem saying Anenu three times, all tefillot, you should be able to say Anenu. So we do in the end, we have somewhat of a compromise that the Shatz says Aneinu in Shacharit, and we say Aneinu at Mincha. Shatz says it because they won't, the poskim say, there's at least one person in the Tzibur that will finish the fast. So therefore we can say Aneinu, you know, relying on the fact that someone will finish the fast. Personally, we don't say Aneinu until the end of Tefillah. What this does have a nafkamina is about Shem Tanit, which is somewhat of the machlokus over here, and that's to do with this idea, whether you say Aneinu in all three tefillot, or just at the time of Mincha, or just Shachris and Mincha. Those that, and Rashi brings a minhag, that people said it in Ma'ariv the night before they said Aneinu. But now we know that they weren't fasting a 24-hour fast. These weren't Tisha B'Av, right? These were fast days that were just B'Yom. Yet they were saying Aneinu and the Mincha beforehand. Why is that? And that has a nafkamina halacha is, does a tanit, a day of tanit, when we fast, for instance, there you go, Shiva Sarbatamus, which is the example, because that's where the tshuvot are, but Shiva Sarbatamus, when does the tanit start? Does the tanit start in the morning, when we start to fast? Or does the tanit really start the night before, at the beginning of the 17th of Tammuz? It's just we only fast on the morning. The shame tanit already enters the day the night before. So that will have nafkamino, number one, for this idea of saying Aneinu. Can you say Aneinu in Ma'ariv, even though you're only going to fast the next day in the morning? Number one. Number two, where the big nafkamino comes is the 3 weeks, right? The Shlosh Shavuot. Right, very good. So there's a machlokas between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shlomo Patriarch. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked to Shaila, could someone have a wedding on the night before Shivas Arba Tammuz? The night before Shivas Arba Tammuz, 3 weeks haven't started yet, because Shivas Arba Tammuz starts in the morning. Can I have a wedding that night? And I think it might have even been a Motzei Shabbos. It was a Motzei Shabbos, it might have been a Nidche. Oh, it was a Nidche, which would cause a problem. If it's on Shabbos already, it's a Nidche, then for sure the 3 weeks have started, you can't do it. But, if it was a regular, it was on a Sunday, can you have it on Motzei Shabbos? You can have this wedding. So Moshe it says, B'di'evid, yes. It says, L'chatchila, you shouldn't do it. But B'di'evid, you can do a wedding. Rav Soloveitchik, the Talmud said, no way, you cannot have a wedding the night before. The Machlokas revolves around exactly this idea. The night before Shabbos Arba Tammuz, does it have a Shem Tanit or does it not have a Shem Tanit? Right, according to, I think it's the Baal HaMor, who says that all three tefillot, even the night before when you're not fasting, you say Aneinu, but there you would say that it has a Shem Tanit. Even the whole day takes on a Shem Tanit. If the whole day takes on a Shem Tanit, you cannot get married the night before. That means the 3 weeks already started, and it means that you can say Aneinu at night. The day before, right. Right, so you have a shame tanit over here. And then I'm not, again, it's 3 weeks, saying Aneinu. On the other hand, if you believe that the tanit only starts at the morning, then you can, the night before is not necessarily the 3 weeks. You can't say Aneinu the night before for sure. And you won't have a din of shame tanit. So it is a big nafkamina about how you view a tanit that's not encompassing the entirety of the day. Does it spread? Does it affect or give character to the whole day, or is it only that part where you're fasting, where it has the character of the Shem Tanit, or it has the Tanit involved with it? So that's interesting. From Tanit Shaot has this variable in it, because this Tanit Shaot is where you have a partial day fast. How does that affect the rest of the day, or how do you look at a partial day fast? Well, it could be, you could argue against Rav Moshe's logic, which is that it could be that the Tanit and the 3 weeks are independent of each other, which it might be the possibility, which is not that it's just Shem Tanit the night before, it's just that the 3 weeks begin from Shivas Arba Tammuz. They're not necessarily tied directly to the Tanit, they're tied to the date. And that's how you could argue against them without going to what Rav Soloveitchik said, which you have a Shem Tanit the night before, it's just that the 3 weeks starts at night, like the day, they're on a date. They go from 17th of Tammuz to the 9th of Av or 10th of Av that we do. And that's it. There's nothing to talk about. The minhag starts at night. When you do the tanit, there's an independent variable. So that's the other possibility, but that's not mentioned, but that could be another way to say or go against the position of Rav Moshe over here. The Tosfos also raises an interesting issue, which is that in the Gemara in Tanit, that is parallel to our sugya over here, when asking about Tanit Shaot, it says, Kol Tanit, Shalosh Shakah, Lev HaChama, Lo Shmei Tanit. Any Tanit that doesn't have the sun set on it is not called a Tanit. From here, Tosfos asks, I don't understand our minhag. And this is relevant to tomorrow, we have Yom HaKippurim. When is the fast of Yom Kippur going to end? It's going to end at Seita Kochabim, not at Shkia. Tosfos, I don't understand. The Gemara is clear. It's clear that when the sun sets, the Tanit is over. Anybody who doesn't get a fast day till the sunset is not a fast. But if you got to sunset, it would be a fast. So why is it that we, and any fast day, not just go right on Yom Kippur, but any fast day, we don't break our fast until Tzeit HaKochavim? Why isn't it Shkiyat HaChama sufficient based on this Gemara in Tanit? Tosfos says, well, the reason is because we don't really know what Shkiyat HaChama is. This is really premised on the Pshita of Rabbeinu Tam. Over here, Tosis quotes it as Chamesh Milim, which would be 90 minutes. In Psachim, in other places, it's 72 minutes. It's three meal and four meal, which would be the Shkia of the Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam thinks that Shkia is not when the sun sets on the horizon, but rather when it becomes dark, when there's no light left from the sun, that's Shkia Techama. So that's what Tosis says. I don't know. When the Gemara said that Shkia Chama, the Shkia Chama literally means when the sun clears, is out of the horizon, and that's when Shkia Techama, like us, our sunset. Or does sunset mean like what the Rabbeinu Tam thinks sunset is, which is after there's no light. You can't see any light from the sun anymore. And that's Shkia Techama, which would be significant later. That would be in towards, very close, for us would be past our Tzeit HaKochavim. Be very late, that would be Tzeit HaKochavim. So Tosfos says, Lo machtina nafshayu l'sfeikot. We don't want to get involved in sfeikot. Since we don't know which Shkia Techama was talking about, their Shkia, when it goes off the horizon or the later Shkia, therefore we keep our fast days, or we have our fast days until Tzeit HaKochavim. It's now the next case. What is about Kankanim Shalom De Kochavim? So this we had already yesterday. The Abbas Hilchot Kankanim Shalom De Kochavim Nachar Yubit Chodesh Mutarim. Kli Cheres, you leave it for 12 months, it's okay. Again, this is only Betzonen. A Kli Cheres that we use Betzonen, you can leave it for 12 months and you're okay. Next, Pamesh Shemesh Moshe. Betzonen. If you use it in cold, Kli Cheres Betzonen, then you can use the 12-month principle. The last thing comes, which is very, very interesting, has other nafkaminot, is Bamesh Shemesh Moshe. What did Moshe use? B'shivet Yimei HaMiluim, B'chaluk Levan. He used a white cloak, robe, just a plain white cloak. Rav Kahana Matni, B'chaluk Levan, Shein Bo Imra. Kahana says it was a chaluk Levan without an Imra. Rashi says Imra is without a seam. It doesn't have a seam around it. Rashi over here quotes and says, oh, there's some who say, you know why it doesn't have to have a seam? So Moshe wouldn't be chashud. Maybe it'd be Choshed Moshe that he took from the Chumat HaMishkan. And we know when it comes to Chumat HaMishkan, when the Kohen, when they go in there to count it, he has to wear a beggar that has no pockets and no seams in it, so he doesn't take any money out. If he becomes rich, people won't suspect him that he took from the Chumat HaMishkan. So he has to wear a beggar without a seam. So he says, same thing Moshe, had to wear a beggar without a seam because they're afraid of him taking Chumat HaMishkan. Rashi and Tani brings that down and just leaves it. Well, here Rashi brings it down and rejects it. He says, no way. Chumat HaMishkan is long gone. The Mishkan was finished back at Hanukkah time. Over here, it's about the service of the Mishkan. It's nothing to do with Trumat HaMishkan. That can't be the reason. And Rashi does not offer any alternatives. Tosfos offers three alternatives of to what the Pshat is here, in terms of why it had no seam on it, why it has no edge on it. So with Tosfos down, it says, Shem Imbo Imra. So Tosfos says, you know why? Because that would be recognizable that it's a brand new Beged. You only put a seam on the Beged when the edges start to fray. So when the edges start to fray, then you put the seam on to cover in those edges that are fraying. If you don't have a seam on it, then it'll look brand new. So that would be obvious, right, that it was not used by anyone else before, and that this was a brand new beged being specifically made for Moshe to use in the Mishkan. That's one possibility. The other possibility he brings from Moshe is that they didn't want people to think that Moshe was servicing in the Mishkan, then they found a mum in Moshe, and that's why Aaron had to replace him on the eighth day. Aaron replaces him because Moshe wasn't good enough. You have this by Eliyot. If you call somebody up to an Aliyah, right, and you have a problem, you don't necessarily call the other person. The other person comes to replace him, you don't call up his name, because we don't want people to think that it's a mum. We have that by Sefer Torah also. We don't want to, you know, wrap up, we don't want to cast aspersions on a Sefer Torah, so sometimes we finish it or we roll it up. All these things where we don't want people to think there's a mum. So it's over here. So why do they make a beggar without a imra, without a seam around it? It's because a beggar without a seam won't last for a long time. It's a short duration beggar. So by making it without a seam, it was a clear indication that up front they knew Moshe was only going to be doing this short term. So by not putting a seam on it, shows it was an indication that it was only temporary that Moshe was doing it. They gave him a temporary beged. The last thing Tosfos brings down is Imra, but Imra with an ayin. Over here, the last possibility Tosfos brings down is Imra with an ayin. Imra with an ayin is wool. Because big deguna have kila ayin in them. Here's the indication, Imbo Imra, was that it did not have wool in it. It was only clay pishtan. It was linen, straight linen beged tunic that he wore over here. And that linen tunic had no imra, had no wool in it, and it didn't have kilayim, even though big deguna do have kilayim. Although it's harder, because then he has to change it from an aleph to an ayin, but that's the last possibility over here. So this tunic that Moshe wore, he wore a pure white tunic, and that's what he wore for the 7 days. Now there's an interesting issue that comes up, and that comes up in the psukim in Parshat Pikudei. In Parshat Pikudei, I'll read you in the eighth day, what would be considered the eighth day, according to Chazal, it says, Behi b'chodesh rishon, b'shana ha-shinit, the first month, the second year, b'achad l'chodesh, rosh chodesh nisan, hukam ha-mishkan. Mishkan was put up. Then listen to this, v'yakem Moshe, and Moshe puts it up. Then Moshe does all the stuff in the Mishkan like this. Puts up the golden Mizbeach, the Mizbeach HaKtoret, no moed. Vayakter alav Ktoret Samim. He's makriv the Ktoret, kasher tzivah Hashem and Moshe. Then next, he puts up the Mizbeach HaOlah, Sam Petach Mishkan HaOmoed. Puts up the Mizbeach HaOlah, and then it says, Vayal Olah, Vet HaOlah, Vet HaMincha. He brings the Olah and the Mincha on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Then it says about the Kiyor. He puts up the Kiyor, Vesim at the Kiyor, and then it says, V'rachatzu mimenu Moshe, V'aharon uvanav et yedeyem v'etragleyem. They all wash their hands. From here it sounds like Moshe did avodah on the eighth day. Now, the problem is, what did Moshe wear on the eighth day? Here the Gemara only asks, what did Moshe wear for the 7 days? Doesn't ask what he wore for the eighth day, which indicates that he didn't work in the Mishkan in the eighth day. Or that's what it sounds like from this Gemara. So most like the Rashbam. The Rashbam, for instance, does that, and he just looks at the Parsha over here in Pekudei and says, well, if you look in Parshat Shmini, Aaron and Vanav are the ones who do the Avodah. So what does it mean over here that they did Kashir Tzivah Hashem and Moshe? So Rashbam says, Vayal Alav means Aaron and Vanav. Moshe put the Mizbeach there, and Vayal Alav, who was Makriv? Aaron and Vanav. That's the way the Rashbam learns. Rashbam learns that when I said to you all these things, he put that Mizbeach there, Vayal Alav, which sounded like Moshe, he says, no, that's Aaron Avanav. And you look at Parshat Shmini, I can prove it to you. That's in Parshat Shmini, they do all the Avodah. So that's over here too. That's Parshat Psukim. We could use Vayal, because there's only one Korban brought here. It's not multiple Korbanot. So Vayal here, they do the Avodah, but Aaron's the one doing the Avodah. There's only one person doing the Avodah, really. Right? I mean, they help him, but it's Vayal, Aaron. So now you have it. Kasher tzivah Hashem and Moshe, like Hashem told Moshe. They did it like the way that Hashem told Moshe. That's where the Rashbam learns pshat, pashup pshat in the psukim over here. On the other hand, the Ramban and Rashi learn differently. Rashi is very problematic, because I'll read you Rashi. There is a change, what seems to be a change in the Girsut Rashi. Rashi writes by the Ktoret. It says, Rashi's Divrei HaMatzkil by the Ktoret says, Vaya ter alav aharon ketoret. Aaron brought the Ktoret. So Rashi says that by the Ktoret, Aaron brought it. And Rashi has an extra word in his Rashi, the word Aaron, which does not appear in our Chumashim. Rashi has the word Aaron here. Later, Girsot and Rashi, if you get the Rashi, go up and look at the Rashi now, it does not have the word Aaron in it. But it's clear that he had it there. You know how we know he had it there? Because the Ramban quotes this Rashi with the word Aaron in it. So remember, then after, right, what becomes more complex is this. Vayal Alav, now listen to this Rashi. Af biyom hashmini lemiluim shehu yom hakamat haMishkan shimesh Moshe v'kriv karbanot tzibur chutz meotan shnitzbu b'leyom. Rashi says Moshe worked on the eighth day, and so too by the kior. It says v'chutzu mimenu Moshe v'Aaron uvanav yom hashmini lemiluim ushvu kulam lekuna. They were all kohanim. Moshe and Aaron were all kohanim. So that is Rashi solved the problem. Rashi divides up the avodah on the eighth day. It says all avodah that relates to karbanot tzibur, that were normal karbanot tzibur, Moshe did. Anything that was miuchad, that was special to the eighth day, the karbanot miluim, that Aaron did. So Aaron and Vanav do anything designated eighth day. Anything that's normal avodah in the Mishkan, Moshe does on the eighth day. So first of all, it's amazing. You have this Rashi. Later on, and it seems there's a, if you look in the Emek Dobar, if you look in the Netziv claims that Rashi's Girsa was later on changed, that he later changed his mind, that there were two different Ktivei Yad. The original Ktivei Yad is what we have here in the Rashi, and I'm quoting you, but later Ktivei Yad do not have this in it, and the Rashbam, his grandson, follows the later version that Rashi had. That the Pashtus here is that Aaron brought it, and Moshe was not involved at all. And that's this also, the Vayal Alav, by Vayal Ekter Alav, Aaron Ktoret, right, Aaron, the word Aaron wasn't there, but just that Rashi believed that it was Aaron that did all the Vayal Alav, and not that it was actually Moshe who does it. There's a later version in Rashi that doesn't have this. That's what the Netziv claims. And then we have the Ramban quoting Rashi, and the Ramban quoting Rashi says that Aaron brought the Ktoret. The Ramban says, no way, Moshe brought the Ktoret. Moshe brought the Ktoret, and the Ramban goes as far as to say that it's including the Shiva Yimei Milim and the Yom HaShmini. And Moshe did all the avodah. Not only did he bring the other Kabbalah, Rashi says the other Kabbalah, not the Ktoret. Ktoret had to be brought by the Kohen. The Ramban says not everything he brought. But he doesn't address anything. Both of them do not address what did Moshe wear on the eighth day. It's a big problem. What did Moshe wear on the eighth day? Because the Gemara here, Yoma, and in Tanit all ask what did Moshe wear for the 7 days, not on the eighth day. So you could just assume that he continued to wear the Chaluk Levan. What's the big deal? But the fact that they asked about the 7 days, not the eighth day, seems to be that Moshe wasn't working on the eighth day. The Rashash says, I tried to find it again, I couldn't find this Rashash, but the Rashash asks, this is what bothered me, as soon as I saw the Rashi, so Rashi claims that the Moshe did all the Karban Eitz Zibur, and Aaron and Vanav on the eighth day did all the things of Miyucha the Yom HaShmini. What's the problem with that? The Parshin Shmini, it says, Dorosh Dorosh Moshe at Seir and Nisraf. Moshe bothers Aaron about the Seir and Nisraf. They burnt the Seir, and the Moshe says, why you burn the Seir? What the Gemara says, what is that Seir? That was the Seir of? It was the Seir of Rosh Chodesh. It was the Seir of Rosh Chodesh that they burnt. So Moshe says, why did you burn the Seir of Rosh Chodesh? Because, so Aaron says, wait, you got it wrong, Moshe. Hashem said that even though I'm an Onein over here, or even though I'm a Be'avelus, I still have to do the Miluim. That's true of the Karbanot that are not, are there, you miyuchad to the Miluim, that are special on that day. The Karbanot that are not miyuchad oyom, but rather are normal Karbanot, like Karban Rosh Chodesh, those are not included in the dispensation that even though you're an Onein, you should eat them. That's Aaron's answer to him. But what do you see? Who is Makriv the Karban Rosh Chodesh? Aaron. And that would go against this Pshat and Rashi. That bothered me. Someone else later told me that the Rashi asked that question. It says, how could it be? What Rashi's saying is true. How could it be that he worked on the eighth day? Because here we say, Rashi's division is Karbanot that are Tzibur, Moshe did. Karbanot that are Miuchad, Yom HaShmini, Aaron did. But the case of the Seir, that was the Rosh Moshe, it's about a Seir, that was done on the eighth day, that was the best Seir Rosh Chodesh, and Aaron did it. Moshe's asking, did you bring the Dam in? Did you do this? Did that? Sounds like Aaron did all the Avodah. So based on the way the Gemara learns that Seir is talking about Seir Rosh Chodesh, it would indicate that Aaron did it, not Moshe. So then you'd have to understand that the Ramban and the Rashi over here, we know what they're thinking about Yom HaShmini, or what did Moshe really do on the Yom HaShmini, and what is his purpose on the Yom HaShmini.
That's the same Yuchadim, or the new things. So Rosh Chodesh hadn't done before Moshe.
Oh, he's saying just the Korban Tamid.
Everything else he did because he was doing already. Aaron started doing the new stuff. Rosh Chodesh is already new.
So you're saying it's the first time a Korban Rosh Chodesh is brought, so that Aaron does, but something that was already done, like Korban Tamid, right, it was done beforehand. Although, many claim that in the Shiva Yimei Milim was not called a Korban Tamid, that the Mishkan has the status of a Bamat Yachid. Status of Bamat Yachid, that's what the Ramban says, the status of Bamat Yachid, and therefore you can bring the carbon, Moshe could service, because you don't need a coin, and you don't need big tekuna for Bamat Yachid. So that was what was unique. So there wasn't any carbon. The first carbon that was brought, Karban Tamid, was brought on the eighth day, and that's what Ramban says when it says, later on, when we say, Kashir Asu Bahar Sinai, that they did the carbon Tamid, they should have been Kashir Asu Bahar Sinai, they're talking about Moshe here, where he brings on the eighth day. That's the first time the carbon Tamid was brought. Although, it is an interesting answer, which I thought about, also maybe that Rosh Chodesh, right, is different. The other possibility, and this is something I give shot, is that it has to do with the eighth day. The eighth day appears actually in three different places. The eighth day, Yom HaShmini, appears in Shemot, Vayikra, and Bamidbar, all three Chumashim. In each of the three of them, someone else is in charge. When it comes to the eighth day in the Miluim of Shemot, Moshe is doing everything. In the eighth day in Yom HaShmini and Vayikra, Aaron is doing everything. In the eighth day that is in Sefer Bamidbar, it's the Nesi'im that are doing everything. And that is because, if you look at the topic of each Sefer, Yom HaMiluim, or the eighth day, is a special day. It's the consecration of the Mishkan. But the Mishkan involves many people. The Mishkan involves both Aaron, it involves the Am, the Machaneh around it, and also involves Moshe. Because Moshe is going to get the Dibur from Hashem through the Mishkan once it's opened. So if you look at that, you have to look at each Sefer. Sefer Shmot is all about Moshe Rabbeinu. Sefer Shmot is about the leadership of Moshe. It's all about Moshe taking the Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, about the undisputed leadership of Moshe, Har Sinai. That's Moshe. In that Sefer, the Yom HaMiluim, who's the central figure in Yom HaMiluim? Moshe. Vayikra is Sefer Torat Kohanim. Sefer Torat Kohanim is all about the Kohanim, and the central figures in Vayikra are the Kohanim and the Avodat HaKohanim. Kedushat HaAdam, Kedushat HaMakom, Kedushat HaZman, all of that is found in Sefer Vayikra. Who are the central figures in the Sefer Vayikra when it comes to Yom HaMiluim? The Kohanim, Aaron uVanav. Bamidbar, what's Bamidbar about? Bamidbar is all about the Machaneh. How does the Mishkan affect the Machaneh that's around it? The Mishkan has Kedusha, and that Kedusha permeates to the Machaneh around it. So who are the central figures in the Yom HaShmini in Bamidbar? The Nesi'im. The Nesi'im are the central figures, because they are the Machaneh. So it may not be that as a stira, I think that if you think about it from that context, the emphasis on the Yom HaShmini is in character of the Sefer that is found. Sefer Shmot, it's Moshe. Sefer Yikra, it's Miron of Anav, and in Sefer Bamidbar, it's going to be the Nesi'im. That's why I wanted to explain the difference here, or the difference on the emphasis, not necessarily from the standpoint that Moshe actually did the Avodah, but who's the focal point of what's going on in the Mishkan, and that has to do with the difference of which Sefer you're found in, not necessarily that Moshe is doing the Avodah. But we'll leave it open there. What did Moshe wear on the eighth day? If anyone finds an answer, they can share it with me. What did Moshe wear on the eighth day when he did the service according to Rashi and the Ramban in the Mishkan? Alright, now, the grapes and the skins and the pits of the grapes, there Rabbi Meir says that they are asur behana'a, and the chamim say, well, it depends. And what does it depend on? Tanorbanan. If they are still moist, they are problematic. Yibeshim, if they're dried out, mutarim. Where's the threshold? Where's the changeover? That if first 12 months, that's considered moist. After 12 months, it's no problem. They're dried out. Like Rabbi Meir says, that when you're asur ba'ana, when they're moist, they're asur ba'ana. Not only are they asur b'shtiya, they're asur ba'ana. But kashen mutarim, after 12 months when they're dried out, not only mutarim, right, hana, they're also mutarim ba'achila and shtiya. That it's a full-fledged. Either they are or they're not. If they are, then they're asur ba'ana. If they're not, then they're not even asur ba'achila. That it's either or. And that threshold is the 12-month point when they dry out. Amrav Zvid. Hadurdayo de chamro. So again, we had this word durdayo. We had it 2 days ago on the daf. I remember I mentioned to you also over there. Rabbi Lazar Durdayo was in the beginning of the Masechta back on Yud Zayin. Person right who went to see all those donot all the world. Durdayo here are the dregs, right? The sediment of the wine. So this hadurdayo de chamro darmai, this non-Jewish sediment, but the tracer yachishat the shari after 12 months is mutar. So that's what we just learned, which basically the dregs. When you get the dregs are equivalent to the seeds and the skins, which are, once they're dried out, they're not problematic. If you look in the Tosfos down here, it's just interesting to look in Tosfos by the Shmarim, Durdayu Damarai, he says, Perish. Shmarim Shalom Bechamim. Rabbi Fayma Yomer, Kimizvor, Shmarim Shneet Yabshu Betanur, Molehem Kamo Hamtana, Diyu Bet Chodesh. He says, if you dry them out in the oven, they have the same din as waiting 12 months. So this is an unbelievable thing. He says, you can accelerate the 12 months by doing the process of drying, accelerating the drying process and putting them into the oven. It says, if they were already dried out, you can use them. Rabbeinu Tam hikpid alav. Rabbeinu says, no way. Matira Talmud over here is durdayu lachar bein chodesh. And the achar shenit madu b'mayim k'mosh regilim alom lasot. They soaked in water for 12 months, and that drained out all the flavor from them, and therefore it's only after 12 months it's viable, not after you dry them out in the oven. You can't accelerate the process by drying them out in the oven. So it's very interesting, nafkamina here, whether this Yud Bet Chodesh means literally 12 months, so that they are soaking and they dry out that way, or is it a 12-month period where you can, it's just got to do with drying out. If you can dry them out, then accelerate the drying out. That comes up also by Basar Kafui. They sell that frozen meat that used to send. There used to be a much bigger problem. Then it's not as much from Argentina. They used to ship meat from Argentina. The problems there with the Shechita also, with the questions about the Shechita. But they froze the meat. They used to freeze the meat and not salt it to drain the blood out before they shipped it. So that's a big nafkamina. Why? You have 72 hours from the time the meat is cut before the blood is balua betochol to salt it. So now over here, they shipped it for 2 weeks to get here to Eretz Yisrael. So is the blood absorbed or not absorbed in the meat? So what? We froze it. So you biologically, you slow down the 72 hours. But literally, they still pass the 72 hours. So most of the poskim, we see this in Shulchan Aruch, the Nosei Kelim, say that 72 hours doesn't matter. 72 hours is 72 hours, doesn't matter if you slow it down. But similar to the machlokas we have over here. Can you accelerate biological time? If it's about drying out, you should be able to accelerate it by putting it in the oven. If it's about literally, it has to be 12 months, or if it's literally, it needs to be 72 hours, it doesn't matter if you biologically slow it down or accelerate it, you have to keep to the time frames that Chazal laid out. I'm Rav Chaviva Brei D'Rova, and a gufai, but our tracer yarche shate shari. These gufai, which are kli cheres, it's now the Gemara says, I'm Rav Chaviva, hane avto detaye. Avto is a chamat, is a flask, he's, leather flasks of a traveler of a merchant, but the tresa yarcheshat shari after 12 months they are mutarim. Amar of achabre devika hani putzani de marai putzani apsolat shalanavim. Those are the dregs or the leftovers of the grapes. Right, those are batuche yarcheshat yashari after 12 months are mutar. Amar of achabre derava hani gufei shchime. These barrels, these klicheres that are shchime, that we had yesterday, which is hani chatzve shchime de marai. those pitchers that are made out of this dark red or black type of kli cheres, there the Gemara says that you don't even have to mekashen them. You can just wash them out or rinse them out because they're not absorbent. It's a very, very hard, dense type of clay, and it does not absorb. Over here, the Gemara says, well, but these kleilin, these gufai shchime, v'ukme, but the treseh yarchei shatei shari, up to 12 months. Not sure what the difference is between gofei shchime, that require 12 months, and chatziva shchime, that don't require 12 months, can just be rinsed out or scrubbed out and be mutarim. The Gemara doesn't reconcile between the two of them, but it's interesting that they have such that they discuss both of them and give different time frames. From Morios, right, the fish brine. Tanu Rabbanan, Morios Uman Mutar. When it comes to fish brine of a expert fish briner, these are really, if he just does it, this is his profession, then you don't have to worry about it. Mishum, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Af Chileik Uman Mutar. Also, this dish called Chileik. Chileik is a small fish. It's a very small fish that is a kosher fish. What's unique about this kosher fish is that it does not have fins and scales when it's young. As it gets older, it has fins and scales on it. So now, you can't tell. You have this small fish dish. You can't tell if it's a kosher fish or not because they don't have fins and scales when you get them because they're young still. And they don't grow the fins and scales now. So if it's done by an uman, if it's done by an expert, we say that it's mutar. Why is it mutar in both of these cases? So Rashi says that an expert will not ruin it. Right, he doesn't want to ruin his reputation. So he's not going to pour wine into the brine, the fish brine, because he's making it and he does it right. When he does it right, and he won't put wine in there to make it, to dilute it down, because then he'll get a bad reputation about his fish brine. Same is true about these little fish. When these childi, that it will change the flavor, and since it will change the flavor, he's not willing to have these tamei fish inside of it. So Tani Abime Brei the Rebbe Bua, Morios Uman Mutar. Hu Tani La, Bu Amar La. He says, he said this, and he explained it. What is that? Pam Rishon Mishini Mutar. We're talking about the first and second rounds of the fish brine, then it's Mutar. Shlishi Asur. My time, Rishon Mishini the Nafishum Nayu. The first and second round, when there's a lot of fat in there, then it's okay. Lo Tzarich. Lamer Mepehu Chamer. He doesn't need to put it in wine. Mikan Veilech, Rambo Buchamer. After that point in time, it's already diluted enough that they put wine in it. Sounds like that. So what they used to do is they used to take the fat. They used to be to take the fat of the fish, and that's how they made the fish brine. They soaked it in water and salt, and that drew from the fat of the fish. So they used to cycle it through once, twice, and then three times. So the first two times, it's already strong enough that the uman's not willing to ruin his reputation, and he won't put the wine in. Really, the third time, it's already diluted. So if you buy third-level diluted fish brine, I wonder if they had that marked on the shelf, 1, 2, 3, you know, which level, which was a dilution. If you bought the 3 already, it's already diluted. You're not so discerning in your taste. You don't want the strong fish brine. Already not so discerning in your taste. If you put some wine in it, it won't matter as well, because it's already diluted enough. So that's where we start to worry about it. But in the first scenarios where it's already, where it's still strong, and the flavor is strong, there, the uman will not be marei nafshe, it will not ruin his reputation, and put it in. How arba de maraisa? There's this boat carrying Morios. The ati de mi law de Akko. It reached the port of Akko. Otiv Rabbi Abba de min Akko. Rabbi Abba ben Akko was over there in the Turi Ba'ada, and he was guarding it. So Amarle, we have the Girsa here according to the Bach is Amarle Rabbi Abba. Now, Robo would be problematic for a number of reasons. Either they were not contemporaries. That's number one. Number two is that we're talking about Akko, which is an Eretz Yisrael. Like Rebbe was not, Rebbe was in Bovil, not in Eretz Yisrael. So Rebbe is unlikely to be the Girsa Yerub, so the Kabbalah changes to Rabbi Abba. Alayidna, Adayidna, Manatra. Says, wait a minute, you're the Mashkiach now. Who was the Mashkiach while the stuff was on the boat? You know, he came to sit at the port to be a Mashkiach. What do I need a Mashkiach for now? This thing's been riding for days on the water and there was no Mashkiach there. So he says, well, no, I'll tell you what he says. I'm alay, Adayidna. Right, the Mai Nichishla. What do we have to worry about? Until this point in time, what were you worried about? Imishum de Marve Be Chamro, if they were going to put in Chamro, Kista de Morios Bluma, Kista de Chamro Dalume. Says one, I'll call it here, this is one liter. I don't, it's Kista is a measurement in their time. So one cup's worth, 1 liter's worth of Morios cost a zuz. 1 liter, 1 cup's worth of wine cost 4 zuz. Why would anybody in their right mind dilute the Morios with more expensive wine? He's going to lose money. You can only sell the Morios for 1 zuz. Now he's going to pour 4 zuz worth of 4 zuz, something that's more expensive, into the cheaper item. It makes no sense. He says he has no incentive to put wine in here. So he says, "Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyahu, the Rabbi Zera, Dilma Aidi Ditzur Atu, the Shavi Chamro." Wait, they came. How did they come down to Eretz Yisrael? They stay along the coastline. When they come down the coastline, they pass Tyre. They pass Tzor up in Lebanon. In Lebanon, in Tzor, wine and Morias have the same price. They're of equal price. So since they passed the port of Tyre, maybe over there it was worth it their while to pour the wine into the Morias. So we should worry about that. So he says, I don't have to worry. I'm like, Hatami Kule Bshureika. He says, you don't have to worry about that. I don't know if he was saying that it's the time of year that it was that they were traveling, or this is all the time. He says that there is snow runoff, and the waters are treacherous over there. So nobody would go into the port of Tyre from coming around here, because it was too treacherous, and therefore we don't have to worry about it. So since there's no incentive for him to put in wine in, because it's more expensive here, along the way he passed Tyre, where it was the same price, but he can't get there because it's too treacherous for the boat to reach it, nothing to worry about. So that's why I'm the Mashkiach now. Now they reach shore, I want to be the Mashkiach, and now we'll look at Moshe. What's he worried about now, right? I'm not sure what he's worried about now. It's a good question, what's he worried about? Maybe now, already when they get to a diluted point, maybe they served it with wine in it. I don't know, it's a good question, what's he doing over here now? Alright. Ugvia gvinat Beit Onyanki. So the cheese from Beit Onyanki was a problem. So Mara says, Amarish Riman Lakish. Mipnei ma asru givinot anyonki. Why did they not want this givinot? Why did they say, Mipnei shirov agalim shal oto ha'ir nishkatim levadat kochavim? Because the majority of calves in that city were given to Avodah Zarah. And how did they make cheese? They used to curdle the cheese in the stomach of the cow. So if the role of the cows are Avodah Zarah, you now have cheese curdled in the stomach of a cow that was offered to Avodah Zarah. Da Rabbi Meir chayish lemiuta. I'm sorry, I skipped a line, right? My area, rov agalim, afilu miyut nami. Who cares? It's the rov. Even if it was the miyut, it would work. Why? Who's the author of the opinion in the Mishnah? That tells about no, that's Rabbi Meir. That Rabbi Meir, chayish le miyuta. Right? Rabbi Meir is chayish le miyuta. Who cares if it's the rov agalim? Even if it was the miyut of the agalim, then Rabbi Zara, he would worry about it. Rabbi says, no. Iyamart rov ika miyut. When you have a rov, you have a miyut. Ella Iamart Miut came into Ika Rova Galim, the Inish Khatim Lobarak Khabim. Viganami Sharbe Mot the Inish Khatim Lobarak Khabim. Have a Miuta de Miuta. O Miuta de Miuta lo Khai Shabi Meir. There's a problem here is that we have actually two levels of looking here. You have rove of the calves in the world are not brought to Abu Zara. That's one rove. Then you look in the city, and if you say in this city that the rove of the calves in the city also not brought to Abu Zara, then you're talking about the mute. Because in this city it's the miut, but it's also the miut of all calves in the world. So that's a miut to miut, and according to Rabbi Meir, we're not choshish for that. On the other hand, if the miut of a galim in the world are brought to Avodah Zarah, in this city you have rov a galim that are brought to Avodah Zarah, now we're talking about one miut, because the rov here is a galim, and then you have the miut in the world. There, that Rabbi Meir will be chayish for. That miut he's chayish for. So you have to have at least one of the rove. You can't have a double miut over here. You have to have at least one rove and one miut. So he says, that's it. The rove of the city is Avodah Zarah. And the rest of the world is the miut. So you have to say, it has to be a case here, obviously, where the people passing through the city on a regular basis, they're shook and they're travelers that come through, that make it relevant that what the rest of the world does. If it's just the city and nobody comes through there, then the rest of the world will not make a difference. The fact that it has to be that there's some exchange or some passerbys here that create that the role of the world matters over here. So now the Gemara says, Amar le Reb Shimon ben Al-Yakim le Reb Shimon ben Lakish, ki nishkatim levarat chachamim, my habi. But what does it matter that they offer them a Buddha? Why should that affect the cheese? It says, Ba at hu deshori. You Reish Lakish, you're matir, using curdling the cheese inside the stomach of an animal that's a sur. Why? Ditmar, shochet et habeima lizrok damah levarat chachamim. Person who shechs an animal in order to sprinkle the dam of Buddha Zara. So now we know, let's just take this away from this a little bit about pigle. Pigle inside the Mikdash. If you, when the time you shecht in the animal, a person is shecht in the animal, he thinks, I'm going to be zorek this dam, chutz le zmano. Or I'm going to eat this korban, chutz le zmano. His machshov at the time of shechita affects the animal, makes it into pigle. So we know inside the Mikdash, when you have a machshov in one avoda, you can affect another avoda. If you have a machshov from what's called machshovinan, the avoda, the avoda. The question here is, do we say the same thing in chutz, shkutei chutz? Here he's shechting an animal outside the Mikdash, and now he's trying to determine, he's saying, you know what, I'm going to be zorek the dam of this animal, avodah zarah.
So now,
right, he's in my backyard, I'm shechting the animal, about to have my barbecue, I'm shechting the animal. He says, but you know what, I'm going to put the blood on the mizbeach, avodah zarah. So now he has a machshava at the time of shechita, to Zrikat Adam. Does that work Chutz LeMikdash? Does it have the same din as it Bifnim, or you can't be Machshavim or not? So Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Shoreid et HaBeimah Lezrok Demala Bada Chamim, like Dir Chalba Bada Chamim, or to bring its fats on the Mizbeach, La Bada Zara. Yochanan Amar Asura. It's no good. Why? Kasavar Machshavim Mavada Labada Yafin Chutz Mipnim. You can have Machshavim from one Abada to the other. We learn out Shchut Eichutz or Avodah Zorah from Bifnim, that you can be Machshir from Avodah to Avodah. Shlomi Olech Shemar Muteret, it's not a problem. So Amalei Tarminach Sheatach. I don't know if he said, your time has come, basically what it means is, your mazel is up. He says, you're mixing cases. Va'omer, Begmar Zvicha Uvda. What are you talking about? You're making a mistake over here. I'm talking about a case where he has a Machshava in Shechita for Zrikat Adam. Right? Makshav of there, that I say is mutar because you can't have makshav from Bodo Bodo. The case we're talking about here in Beit Yom Yonki, they're shechting it by Bodo Zoro. The Shechita itself is by Bodo Zoro. The Shechita itself is by Bodo Zoro. No question by me that that's the Surah. I'm going to agree to Rabbi Yochanan. They're not talking about makshavinim by Bodo Bodo. It says you mixed up. You're mixing and matching. You got the wrong case here. Ah, why is his name Gemar Zvicha? That's the Shlokish Shechita Toh. So Makhog is in Shechita, where the Shechita is Mitchila itself. Right? Or is it Shechita Rak Basof? So Reish Lakish have the opinion that Shechita is only Basof. And since Shechita is only Basof, that's what he says back to him. Why Zvicha, everything happens. So he says, at the end of the Zvicha, he's doing it Avodah Zarah. So that's what he's saying to him. Listen, that's not the case I'm talking about where I said it's Mutar. You got the cases mixed up, and it's not Mutar. Alright, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. This starts the case of what we call the, cheese case. What's the Gvinas Akum, Chalav Akum? Where does it come from? This is the start of the sugya. We'll get through up to the two dots, and then the Gemara continues on tomorrow's daf. So he says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Shal Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel was asking what the reason was for the Gzeira. And he didn't tell him. In the Mishnah we saw that he was trying to move him around, take him off topic, and he didn't tell him the answer. Amar Rabbi Achudvai Amar Rav, Amakadesh Beperish Shor Niskal Mikudeshet. This very romantic man decides that he wants to get married with the inside the stomach, the leftover or not fully disposed of or fully digested food that is left in the stomach. He wants to use that to be Mekadesh Nisha. So it's some liquidy acidic perish that's left in there. He wants to use that to be Mekadesh Nisha. It works. Beferish Egle Obder Chavim Enu Mekadeshet. If you use the perish, perish is really excrement, but over here it's the liquid inside of the stomach. It's the acidic, digested foods in the stomach that we're talking about over here. So when you do it for a, shorani skull, it works. When you do it with a avodah zarah, it doesn't work. It's a surah. Why? The difference between them is either logical or it's a pasuk. What's the logic? By Avodah Zarah, what is he doing? He's bringing this as a present to the Avodah Zarah. When he brings it as a present, he wants the animal to look as fat as possible, as big as possible. So therefore, the perish, the excrement, or the refuse that is in the stomach makes him fatter. So if it looks fatter, it's better for him. So he wants it there. He has a reason to believe, they want it, and to be a part of the Avodah Zarah. About Gai Shorin Iskal, Onechalei Benafke, what does he care how big it is? It's probably even harder to stone the shore if it's bigger. So he said, what do I need that? It doesn't have any value over there. So there, he says, it's worthless. And that's why it's Muteret. That's the Svara. Yibai Meitzmer Kroah, the Pasuk. Tivoch, it says, Lo Yibak Biyadcha Meumah Min Acherem. Right, by Avodah Zarah says, you can't have a single thing left over. Nothing. Hey, everything is covered. Everything is problematic by Avodah Zarah. Tivata, by Shor Niskal, it says, Kol Yisakel Ashor, Velo Yachel Basaro. So over there it says, you can't eat the Basar, Basaro Asur, Hapersho Muteret. It's only the flesh that is problematic, but the perish is okay. Amarova Tarvayu Taninhu. Both of these we've learned from the Mishnaic or Tanaic works. What is that? Mitkamalei, Mipneishim, Rabidim, Kebat Nevi'ilah. Because in the Mishnah it says, what's the reason that they gvinot takumar asur? It's because they put them, they curdled them in the stomachs of Nevi'ilot. The Gemahadalei, and he says back to him, the answer, Rishon says, that's not a good answer. Why? Alo kebat olach, hamurami kebat Nevi'ilah. When it comes to the stomach of an olah, that is much more serious. Right, or Isur, that is much more serious. And therefore, how could you say that it's not allowed when you do it by Avodah Zarah? I mean, when you do it by Nevelah, it's not allowed. And over here by an Olah, which is much more Chamor, we do allow it. So that can't be the explanation. Right? So Rabbi Shmuel was asking Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Shua answers back to him and says, oh, because they curdled the cheese in the velot. He says back to him, we curdled cheese in the stomach of an olah. So why should that make a difference? Michlal, di suri ano, sharu pershayu. From here you can see that the Surayana, because what are we talking about here? We're talking about Isurayana is not an avela, we're talking about an Ola. Ola, that's Asurbana. Nevertheless, you're allowed to curdle in its perish. So Midkamalay, Mipnation Ramina Tabi Kibat Egleo Bada Kakabim, its response to him again, then Rabbi Shua responds again to Rabbi Shmuel and says, no, it's because they curl the milk in the stomach of Avodah Zarah. Then what do you see from that? Become Adalay Imkain Lamalo Asura Bana. So Rabbi Shmuel says, oh, if it's Avodah Zarah, why is only Asur Bachila? It should also be Asur Bana. Michlal the Avodah Chachamim Asur Parshayu. Everybody agreed. Rabbi Shmuel accepted that explanation from Rabbi Shua that the problem was the perish of the parish of the Avodah Zarah. So you see from that that the parish of Avodah Zarah is problematic. So Blahadulay, why is he answering? Mishum Kaletali Surah Beine. Why does he just answer him that the Isur is not present? But it goes, Daha, Morius Lerabonan. To lo asura bihana. Morius, according to Rabbanan, is not asura bihana because the wine, even if there is wine inside of it, it's asura bishtia, but not bihana because the wine gets absorbed by the Morius. Remember before we said yesterday that the Morius is so strong that it eats the wine out of the walls of the barrel. So it's over here. If you put wine into the Morius, it disappears. So if that's the case, we see that the Rabbanan say it's asura bishtia, but it's not asura bihana. So how more is the Rabbana or less Rabbana? My time Allah mishum to let the Isur Beine. So why over here? Over here it should be the same thing. The perish is going to disappear. You're going to curdle the cheese. Inside the cheese, do you know, you can't see the perish anymore. It's not there. Let the Isur Beine should be, okay. It's not Asur. It's Asur Ba'ashtia. It's Asur Ba'achila. But why should be Asur Ba'ano?
The perish itself.
The perish, no. The perish that you use to curdle the cheese for Avodah Zarah. If you curdle cheese in the stomach of an Avodah Zarah, something that was used for Avodah Zarah, should be, okay, Asur Ba'achila, but not Asur Ba'hana'ah. Yet, Rabbi Shua is giving this as the reason to Rabbi Shmuel for why the cheeses, the little chamim, are problematic. He should have just answered back to him, okay, good answer, but that only helps by the Achila, it doesn't happen by the Ana. Why didn't he answer that? So the Gemara says, Imriyacha, Kevin de'ukmei kamukim choshigle. Command to eat in the Suri Be'inei. This is a general principle in a ma'amid. Anything that's ma'amid, the classic example of this is yeast. When something is used to ferment something else, or as a core tansit, as a concentrated form inside of it in order to do something, to yeast to bread, or other things, that item is not batel. You cannot be mevatel that item. That item, number one, is not batel, and number two is, it gives, whatever it gives that flavor into the item, and it's as if it's there. It's as if it's really there. It's as if it's be'en. So it's over here. The curdling that is done of the cheese, what causes the zimbukim here, that curdling of the cheese is done by the perish. So even though the perish does not exist anymore, it's considered as if it exists. It's as if it's in the cheese, and it's as if it's be'en, because it's the ma'amid. It's the item that makes it all happen. And since the item that makes it all happen, it has a status. It's chashivus. You give it a certain amount of chashivus because of that. You don't dismiss it, because you need it. And you need it to make this item. And because of that, it gets a chashivus, which won't allow it to be batel, and also makes it as if it's be'en, as if it's there, the isur. So that's why he didn't answer that way. So now it would be equal. He says, oh, if it's perish, avoda kachavim, then it would be asur b'achila and be'hana'ah. So that's how Rava showed over here that we find it in the Mishnah. Our Mishnah shows us both of those positions, that when it comes to an olah, comes to a shnevela, there's no Isur on the perish, only Isur on the flesh, not on the perish itself. Whereas it comes to Avodah Zarah, we see that there's an Isur not only in the flesh, but also on the perish, and that's exactly what we just said before, that differential between the perish of Egle Avodah Zarah and the perish of a Shor HaNiskal. Okay, we'll stop over here. It's Gemara Chasima Tova to everybody.